Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the first week of our new series called Island Life, and this week, Pastor Josh explains how John points us to a different kind of God who calls us to a different kind of life. Enjoy the message.
Well, aloha, Rock Church. How you guys doing? You good? Good. It's so good to see all of you guys here on campus. I want to welcome you, and I also want to welcome others who are joining us, one on campus at our coastal campus. Man, we're glad you are with us, and our online campus, we're thrilled you're with us. So everybody here in Conway, do me a favor. Welcome, everybody. So as you can tell, we are excited about what's happening and this new series that we are calling Island Life. Let me just hear, for those of you here in Conway, just a real loud aloha, all right? One, two, three. Oh, I just feel like I should start dancing on that. But anyway, hey, man, I'm glad you're with us. And if you're new with us, man, thank you for checking out The Rock. I hope you're having a great time. If you're on campus and you're new with us, let me challenge you. Stop by our Connect Corner. We would love to greet you there. And if you're online, then just text the word Connect to the number that you'll see across the screen every now and then. So if you're new with us online, text that word Connect to the number 843-444-2144. But again, if you're on campus at Coastal, at Conway, then just stop by the Connect Corner, as we would love to connect with you further. And we do have this new series that we're doing. We're calling it Island Life. And I love the thought of that. It's summertime, and we need, in this season of life, just to have some fun thinking about island life. And if you think about the island life, I would say this, that the island life is a different life, right? Like when you think of island life, like maybe you think of relaxing, maybe you think of the beach, maybe you think of just no clocks, you think of tranquility, you think peace, you think quiet. What I think about the island life is there's no calories in food on the island, right? Like you just get to eat. You pig ass, I'm on island lifetime, right? You know, there's nothing. I can just eat all that I want to eat. It's all good, you know? And that island life, it can be on a beach. It can be in a mountain. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can find that. And I think right now in this season that we're in, we need that, right? Don't we need some peace and tranquility and joy? We need that. And I know you might think, well, is it even possible to find that? Well, you know, the beer company Corona would simply say, find your beach, right? But we could also say Corona would say, no, it's impossible right now. Because the island life is a different life due to Corona as well. That if you think about just COVID and all of a sudden, that COVID has caused many of us to have this kind of island life, right? Little Tom Hanks from Castaway, that maybe you're isolated, you're insane, and the only friend you've got is make-believe guy named Wilson, right? That's what the island life can do to us, is there's peace and tranquility on the island life, but there can also be this isolation, this I'm deserted, I'm all alone, and I know that that's real right now for some people. I was talking to two different individuals this week, who right now, because of the season that we're in, that they just feel isolated, quarantined, and they are struggling. Because when you're isolated, that is a natural thing to happen. But I also think, because of that, it's a great time for us to think about this island life different. I think it's a great time for us to think about what would it mean to be on the island. And you might think about being on the island because you want peace and tranquility and joy from that. You might think about being on an island because you feel isolated and you need some joy. What we want to do over the next 5 weeks is we want to spend some time looking at a guy who was on a deserted island. We want to look at a guy who was isolated. We want to look at a guy who was quarantined and who was old, yet he had incredible joy. See, there was a guy in the Bible, his name was John. He was the Apostle John. And he had every reason to be a grumpy old man at the end of his life. His best friend, Jesus, had died and was crucified on the cross. All of his buddies that he ran with, his band of brothers, they all had died from persecution in a bunch of different ways. And now at the end of his life, he's all alone. He gets persecuted. Tradition holds that he was thrown in a vat of oil and burned, but didn't die because from it. So instead, from there, they banished him to an island called Patmos. And on this island of Patmos, we have in the Bible four different books that we think were written while he was on that island. All right, they're called 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. And through this series that we're calling Island Life, we're going to look at 1 John. But if you use the Rock Reading Plan over the next month, we're going to read through all four of those books. So I want to encourage you to track with us because there's a great thing we can learn from John. And what we're learning from John is how to have joy in the midst of the island life. And we see it in his life because what he really points us to is a different kind of God who calls us to a different kind of life. That's what I want us to really catch today is the fact that in John's first letter, 1 John chapter 1, in that chapter, he really points out a different kind of God who calls us to a different kind of life. And I want us to start right there with this idea of a different kind of God. So if you have your Bible, you can go there. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. If not, it's on the screen here and I'll be reading it. It says this. It says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. Now let's pick apart this verse for a second. It starts with this, the very beginning of it. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning. That what John is doing is he's starting his letter that he's sending out to the known world at the time, and he's saying, I want to tell you about the guy who existed from the beginning, and his name is Jesus. See, for many people, and even today, we have an idea that Jesus only came on the scene around 4 BC. Now we think back at the turn of time, we think, well, that's maybe when Jesus came. But what John is saying is Jesus existed from the very beginning. That he's not new into the world, because at the time of this writing, it probably would have been maybe around 80 to 90 AD. So Jesus would have existed on the earth in physical form about 60 years earlier. So what John is saying, he's like, guys, I don't want you to think that Jesus just started 60 years ago. I want you to realize that Jesus has been from the beginning. That Jesus is a different kind of God. And what I love about what John does here is he parallels verse 1 to a couple other books in the Bible, all right? Let me just geek out on you for just a second, all right? A fun little thing, all right? That if you think about it, he says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. So that was a letter that he wrote. But John also wrote a biography of Jesus. He wrote a book that was just simply all about Jesus. That one we call the Gospel of John. And it starts in chapter 1, verse 1. It says it this way. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that word there in the Greek, which is the original language of the Bible, is called logos. And it means speech or knowledge or reason. So what we're saying is, in the beginning, the Word, this speech, this knowledge, this reason, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And a few verses later, he says, and then the Word became flesh. So I love how in his letter and in his biography of Jesus, he starts it almost the same way. which also parallels to the very first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That if you look at John, that he's basically saying, I've got one thing to tell the world. Like, you look at all of John's writings, and he basically says, I got one thing to tell the world, and this is it, that Jesus is God, and in him is life. If I had one thing to tell the world, that's what I'd tell you. That Jesus is God, and in him is life for everyone, because you matter to him. And that's what John is trying to get at right here in this statement. And he's saying that Jesus has been around from the very beginning because he is God. And then he goes a step further. He doesn't just say that Jesus is God. He then says, let me tell you what we experienced. Let me go back to the verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes, and we touched him with our own hands. That basically what John is saying at this point is, listen, like this is Jesus who is God, and he is real because I have seen him, I have heard him, and I have touched him. That I have an experience with Jesus that cannot be put to the side. I have an experience with Jesus that cannot be debated, right? And a lot of times when people have experiences, when we have experiences, then you say, well, this was my experience. You can tell me what you want to tell me, but this is what I experienced. And when you think about faith, I want you to understand faith comes from an experience with God. And what I love about John's testimony is he experienced Jesus. He saw him, he heard him, and he touched him. And that would be worth listening to, but what makes it even so much better is John's not the only one who gave us that testimony. That John is saying, we. He's not saying I, he's saying we. So he's talking about the other people, the other disciples, the other Christians who experience this same thing. See, John wrote the Gospel of John, the biography of Jesus, the way John understood Jesus while he was walking on this earth. But so did Matthew. See, Matthew wrote a testimony of how he experienced Jesus. And he said, and Matthew wrote about what he experienced, what he saw, what he felt. And then a guy named Mark, who was a young boy who was following Jesus from the sides, wrote a biography as well. But he really wrote his biography through the experience of Peter, that Peter helped Mark write that gospel account, that biography. So that gospel of Mark, that biography of Jesus written by Mark, was really told through the apostle Peter. And then you get to Luke, and Luke wrote down his experience based off of everybody's eyewitness account. So here's what I want you to see, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all experienced Jesus. They all saw Jesus, they all heard Jesus, they all touched Jesus, and all of their testimonies about Jesus all really say the same thing, that he was God, that he came to this earth, that he died on a cross, that he rose from the dead, that he was real. He's saying, man, that's our experience with Jesus, and he brought life. And what I love is that we can look at those testimonies and we can go, okay, now that gives me reason to put my faith in Jesus. Because we can't necessarily physically touch Jesus. None of us in this room have physically seen Jesus. But I can say this, that we can all see the work of Jesus in our lives. That we've all heard the words of Jesus through the preaching of the Bible. That we can even feel Jesus. Maybe not physically, But many of us in this room can give a testimony of how you know God has moved in you, how you have felt God moving in your life. I want all of us to catch this, both in Conway and at Coastal. I know there's some of you who haven't experienced God yet. I want you to see the testimony of those who have. So I'm just going to ask a simple thing. For those of you in Conway and at Coastal, do this. That if you have experienced Jesus changing your life, that you have not physically seen him, but you've seen his work in your life, that you've heard the gospel over your life, that you've felt the Lord move in your life, would you just do me a favor and raise your hand if you're here? Now, this is important because I know some of you haven't had that experience yet. I want you to see through the testimony of many that Jesus is God and changes lives because he brings life. And that, I believe, is what John is getting at in this verse. That he's saying, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is a different kind of God. Because he's not just a God who is far off. He is a God who came to us. He is not just a God who is supposed to be feared because he brings death. But he is a God who should be feared, but he's a God who brings life. And that's the very next verse. Look at it. It says this in verse 2 and then a little bit in verse 4. John says this, he is the word of life. He is the word of life. Now remember that word, logos. He is the knowledge of life. He is the reason of life. He is the speech of life. That God is life is what John is getting at. And it continues on. This one is life itself. This one who is life itself was revealed to us. Let me pause right there for a second. That Jesus, God, he is the word of life. Why is he the word of life? Well, one, because he's life itself. He's just simply life itself. That Jesus is the author of life. He is the sustainer of life. And he was revealed. He was revealed to us. Jesus came to this earth and he revealed to these disciples what life was all about. As he went through the land and he healed people and brought life into them. As he went through and he took care of people, he rose some people from the dead. That he is the author of life, that Jesus is life itself. But then it goes a little bit further. He is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. That Jesus, he's the word of life because he is life itself. He is the word of life because he is eternal life. That again, what John is getting at is that we saw Jesus do some amazing work. And it didn't just stop with what he did for people and bringing life to people, that he actually brought life to himself again. That we witnessed Jesus die on the cross and then 3 days later rise from the dead. So when we saw that, we saw that Jesus is a living God, an eternal God, who brings eternity to us. This is an important thing that we got to make sure we understand. Because what's going on is the disciples in that moment, they recognize that there is life after death. See, there was a big debate back then on whether or not there was life after death. And Jesus, by rising from the dead and showing them, I am the resurrection and the life, he's saying there is an eternal life in front of you, and you need to make sure that you prepare for it. And see, unfortunately, I think many times we just think about the temporary. We just think about our life here on earth, that we get caught up in our 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years of life. That we get caught up in that and we think it's all about this place. Now, again, this place is a great place. I love life. I love it. But I love life because I've recognized eternal life. And because I know about eternal life, it changes my perspective on earthly life. But again, too many times, what we do is we think like this sand for a second. That we think in this earthly life format. And I want you to think about your earthly life. Think about all the sand in the world. And think about your earthly life. And this, maybe, is the extent of your earthly life. But then there's eternity. And eternity looks a little bit more like this. Eternity is a little bit longer. Eternity is a little bit fuller. Eternity is a long, long, long time. And what I just showed you doesn't even scratch the surface of what eternity really is. And we worry about this when God's saying, but this is what life is all about. It's not just the earthly life, it's the eternal life. So recognize Jesus as the Word of life because He is life itself, and He will grant us eternal life. And when we start to understand eternal life about one, I am going to live forever, my soul is going to go on forever, and I want it to be a life, an eternal life filled with joy. I want my eternal life to be filled with joy. Let me keep reading. He was with the Father and then was revealed to us. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. That John, remember, he's an old man. He's been boiled in a vat of oil. He's been banished to an island. He has all the reason in the world to give up on God, but he's like, nope, because I know eternity is coming, and that gives me great joy. When I recognize my eternal life, then I've got joy in this earthly life, no matter what comes before me. And I want all of us to catch that, because if we'll start to recognize, wait, He is a different God who offers a different kind of life. And if He offers a different kind of life, then I need to recognize that I'm being called to a different life. That He is a different God, a different kind of God who calls you to a different kind of life. It's not just an earthly life, it's an eternal life. Well, then how do I get to that point of eternity? Then how do I make sure that I am living a different life for a different kind of God? Well, the beauty is, John tells us in the next couple verses, three simple steps on what it looks like. The first one is recognize that God is light. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. That God is light. That you can think of God as radiant light. You can think of God as pure light. You can think of God as the beaming light. You can think of God as the source of light. All of those things are true, all right? But when you think about God, I want to make sure that you catch it this way. Because I think too many times when we think, well, God is light, we're like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. But what does that mean? Here's something that I do. I don't know if this will help you, but if it does, you can do it as well. That oftentimes when I'm reading scripture and I see the word light, like God is light or you be light or anything like that, I oftentimes also replace that word light with the word truth. When I see darkness, I often replace it with the word falsehood. Because one, John does that a little bit in his epistle. You'll see that as you read through it this month. But even in this verse, you can kind of see that. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, or I could say God is truth. And there is no falsehood in Him at all. When God is light, He is pure, He is perfect. If God is light, He is true, He is truth. It's not a relative truth, it's not a subjective truth, it's objective. And it's objective because we can go back 2,000 years ago and we can see the proof of Jesus Christ on this earth and rising from the dead. You can see the proof of that in your Bibles, you can see the proof of that in history books, that Jesus was alive during those times and did what He said that He was going to do. He is objective truth. There is no falsehood in Him. There is no darkness in Him. God is light. So if God is light, well, then I should want to live in the light. Then I should want to do this. Look at the verse again, or the next verse. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. We are not living in the light, all right? See how they go the same. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. If God is light, then we need to live in the light. But unfortunately, many times we live in darkness because we allow darkness to live inside of us. Honestly, we just put masks on. Right now, we're all pretty good at recognizing masks, right? You know what I mean? Like, you go out in public, you're walking around, you're going to the store. Many of us are wearing masks. We see masks. That's a new thing, right? Like in America, we're not used to seeing people wearing masks in grocery stores. Over the last 3 months, we've gotten very accustomed to it. It's a new thing in America. It's not a new thing in the church, though. Oh. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Right? But it's true, isn't it? Like, we are really good at living one way in life, and then we show up at church, and like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Oh, I love Jesus. Life is good. You know what I mean? And that we'll come in and we'll wear our mask, and we'll be like, yeah, I'm good. Like, no, I don't got no darkness in me because, you know, I've prayed a prayer, or I've went to church a couple times, or I've done this. And listen, we are the type of church that says, come as you are, all right? Now, in COVID, you can wear a mask if you want, but we don't wear spiritual masks. When you come to this church, we don't wear spiritual masks. The best thing we can do is just recognize the darkness inside of us. The best thing we can do is say, I want to live in the light, and the best way for me to live in the light is just to admit there's times that I am not in right fellowship with God. There are times that I am not walking out my faith the way I should. There are times that I allow sin to come into my life, and I'm not practicing the truth that I so desperately believe. So if we are going to recognize God as a different kind of God who is calling us to a different kind of life, then what we've got to do is we got to recognize God is light, and we need to live in the light, and we live in the light by confessing our darkness. Very next verse. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Man, I love these two verses. If we confess our sins, that's it. It's that simple. If we will confess our sins, if we will admit that we've made mistakes, that word confess, if you were to go back to the Greek language, it's a Greek word that you pronounce homologeo, or something like that, okay? Homologeo. And you might go, okay, well, it's a kind of a fun word to say, all right? I'm not going to make you say it, but it's kind of a fun word to say. But the meaning is rich. Hama means of like kind. It's where we get the word homo sapien, or any other way you want to say that. Of like kind is what that first part of that Greek word means, of like kind. The second part is logos. I've shared that word with you several times already. Of like speech. Of like knowledge. I want you to see it. Because what it's saying is, if I confess my sins, I'm saying, God, I have like knowledge. Meaning, He knows we're sinners. He knows we've messed up. And when we're willing to admit it, what we're saying is, God, I'm having like knowledge of You of my sin. I'm recognizing the darkness in me. I'm in agreement with You that I don't have everything right. But here's the beauty, because God is a God of life, that when we confess our sins, when we have agreed speech with God about our sins, when we acknowledge our sins and we speak that to God, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us, that He says, you can take me at my word because I'm a God of life. So if you'll confess your sins to me, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to faithfully forgive you of your sins. And that brings me great joy. I hope it brings you great joy, because what it means is we can be in right status with God for all of eternity. And that should bring us joy. So I want you to think about those three steps. I want you to think about what it means to recognize God is the light. I need to live in the light. And to live in the light, I simply need to confess my own darkness. I want you to think about that as we move into a time of response. Because a different kind of God is calling us to a different kind of life. A different kind of God. He's calling. He's calling each and every one of us right now to a different kind of life. A life of joy. A life of peace. A life with Him. He's a different kind of God because every other God in the world is all about you got to get to Him. But our God said, no, I'm coming to you. And I'm making it possible. I will bring life. But as I bring life, this is what I'm going to have to do. As I bring life, this is what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to confess my sins. As He brings life, I've got to be willing to confess and recognize Him as God. So tonight, as we move in this time of response, I want to challenge you to do that. Maybe for you, whether you're here in Conway, maybe you're online, maybe for you, this will be the first time in your life you've ever confessed your sins. And you're not confessing them to the person on your right or left. That's not what I'm challenging you to do tonight. There's times that that is very beneficial. Scripture talks about you can find healing that way by sharing with one another and helping one another. But tonight, what I'm really talking about is just confessing it to God. It's just bending the knee, just saying, Lord, I want to surrender to you right now. And I want to confess my sins because I know I've got some darkness in me. Maybe you're online right now. I want you to do that. And I want you to text that word yes to that number. Because I want you to walk with God and we want to come alongside of you. If you're here in Conway, you can do it in your seat. You can do it by coming up to the prayer corner and getting down on your knees and praying over there. You can do it by taking communion. Do whatever you need to do. But then I also know that there's those of us who have responded to the gift of God's grace. There's many of you. I saw you raise your hand earlier, all right? And we've responded to the gift of God's grace. But the reality is sometimes we still mess up in sin. Reality is that we're in right standing with God, but we still allow sins to come into our life. And when that happens, what we got to do, we got to confess them to God. Not just for forgiveness. God is faithful. He will forgive. I confess as an acknowledgement of God, I don't want that darkness in me. I want to be walking in the light. So maybe tonight as we sing these couple of worship songs, as we have this time of response, maybe for you as you're singing, it's going to be a time for you to say, God, I recognize this. I know you've forgiven me of so much, but there's this that I've been holding on to, and I need to confess that to you, Lord, right now. God, the other day I did this in my life. I'll talk personal. 6:30 in the morning, I wake up, I do my connect time. It's what I do every morning. At 8:30, I get a phone call. And within 5 minutes of the phone call, I'm reacting to the person on the other side of the line. I wasn't being belligerent or anything, but I wasn't being in the light. You know what I mean? And I hung up the phone and I had to spend some time with the Lord right then. And I went and found that person. He's in my family. It was pretty easy. And I said, I'm sorry. I reacted in that moment, and I shouldn't have reacted. Got to recognize the darkness, because that darkness will always try to creep in. But I want to be a person of the light, because I have found life and joy in Jesus. I want us all to do that. So do me a favor. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and then let's respond. Take communion. Go to the Connect Corner and pray with somebody. Maybe tonight's the night you need to get baptized. That you're recognizing that. Whatever you need to do to respond, let's spend some time doing that. Pray with me. Jesus, right now, I come before you as God. That you are God. You are a different kind of God because you are a God of life. And Jesus, we know you're calling us to live a different kind of life. So Jesus, I just pray in this moment that our desire will be to do that, so that we will confess and we will be in the light as you are in the light. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.